a 9-year fight to win equality for First Nations children on reserves is now over. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal ruled that children on reserves are discriminated against by the federal government. They receive less money for social services than kids elsewhere in Canada. Wayne Christian has been following the case. He's the chief of the Splatson First Nation near Enderby, and he's on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Chief.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
What do you make of this ruling?
Well, I think the ruling is really historic in nature and lays out a good foundation for future change, especially with the federal government. But also, I think it puts the provincial government on notice that things have to change in terms of how things are managed for our children here in British Columbia.
We'll talk about what comes next, of course, in a moment. But I'm curious about the discrepancies or disparities you've seen on reserve for how kids are treated on reserves versus off reserves.
Well, a primary example is that we had a child that has medical issues and would be considered spina bifida, right? And because the child is on reserve, there are no services for that child. But because we have jurisdiction of our own child welfare process, we are able to support and fund that child for resources. Under the current system, if that child was off the reserve, it would receive all the resources that the child and family could get. But when they're on reserve, they don't. And in fact, I would say if we didn't get those services to that child when they're on reserve, she probably potentially could have passed on. Because and that's the level of discrepancy that is in terms of services that are delivered into our communities via the federal government because of discrimination.
Well, and what's at the root of that discrepancy? I mean, is this written down somewhere that if you're on reserve, you get X, and if you're off, you get Y?
Well, that's the nature, I think, with the Indian Affairs and people under this assumption that billions of dollars get sort of paid into, if you will, our communities, and that's totally false. I think the budget is something like $10 billion for the Indian Affairs, and less than 10% of that goes into the communities. 90% of it is taken up for the bureaucracy and Indian Affairs sort of administrating, you know, policies that are discriminatory. And this one specifically, Directive 20-1, really is intended to remove children from the families, not keep them in the families.
What would you like to see happen next? I mean, I know that there's some, I understand the Human Rights Tribunal will be clarifying some of its policy recommendations in the coming weeks. What would you like to see happen immediately?
Well, I think immediately the federal government couple this with the first five recommendations in the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which are all around child welfare. It talks about the, you know, the very issues the tribunal is talking about. And one of the major issues, recommendation number four, is the federal government needs to look at federal legislation that can give our communities the authority to take care of our own. And the feds and the province have to stop doing deals behind our back. We have to be in the room. There's no more decisions about our children without us. Enough is enough. That's the problem with the system. The feds and the province are always talking about us outside, and it's kind of like we don't exist. And they, you know, so get involved with us after the fact when we go to court or other processes, but they don't involve us in the lives of our children.
We spoke to a lawyer who was involved in bringing this case to the Human Rights Tribunal just about an hour ago, and I asked him whether part of this was just the very existence of the Indian Act. I'm curious what you think of that.
Well, you think about it in this context, is they really talked a lot about Section 9124 of the British North America Act, which is seven words, Indians and Latins reserved for Indians. And out of those seven words, the federal government has interpreted that as the Indian Act. We have never sat down with the federal government, and Prime Minister Trudeau talks about a renewed nation-to-nation relationship. It is fundamentally that relationship that we need to talk about. And then we can talk about getting rid of the Indian Act and saying this is what we want for our laws and governance for our children and our families and our communities. And I think that fundamentally the Indian Act is what the problem is. Because Section 9124, be very clear, British Columbia is unceded Indian land. It's Section 9124 lands until the communities decide that they're going to give up that right to those lands. And that's the issue I think we've got to really talk about, is that's got to be dealt with in terms of Canada and British Columbia.
Now, in a separate matter, your band is taking the province to court over the jurisdiction of children and kids in care. Will the Human Rights Tribunal ruling have any impact on that case?
Well, in many ways, it's sort of a vindication of our struggle, because when we started our struggle over close to 40 years ago, is that we stood up our laws and we went to the federal government and requested resources. And they resourced us at that time based on need at a higher level than they actually do now. And then they had the evolution of federal policy. And again, be very clear, this is public policy. Directive 20-1 made it so that you had to apprehend or take a child out of its family so we could actually get financial resources. And that model does not work. I would say that's the reason why there are so many Indian children in care across Canada, because of that public policy. It's the same policy they use for the residential school. So I think that's what the issue is, and it's got to be dealt with. So it supports us in terms of what we need to do, because the ruling talked a lot about the federal relationship and that the federal government has the ability to occupy the field, but they don't in terms of Indian children. You know, they did that for the residential schools, but they aren't doing that for our children currently today.
Why is it that the courts and human rights tribunals seem to be ahead of our elected bodies on all of these issues?
Well, if you fundamentally look at it, discrimination is a systemic process, and the laws of Canada and British Columbia have been designed purposely to eradicate us as a people. I call it legislative genocide. Now, I know the lawmakers don't like to hear that, but that's in fact. We've got people in places of power that are lawmakers that don't understand the nature of our people and our relationship with the land and how we actually implement our own laws. That is changing, but it has to change dramatically. And the lawmakers in terms of in Victoria and Ottawa have to take heed and sit down with us. And again, I keep saying we have to be in the room when they're talking about our children, us as leaders, as chiefs and tribal chiefs and people that need to be in that room with Canada and British Columbia when those decisions are made.
Chief Christian, always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.